The information in the Quality of Life radio program is provided for informational purposes only and should not be construed as medical or legal advice on any subject matter. Quality of Life and Ronald Zach Law provides medical and legal advice and other services only to persons or entities with which it has established a formal healthcare provider or attorney-client relationship. The program is paid for by Quality of Life Medical Research Center.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Quality of Life Radio. And by the way, that Sildenafil ad that ran just before the show started was a great segue into our show. This is Ronald Zach. I'm one of the co-hosts of Quality of Life Radio. We also have here Dr. Jack McGettigan, who we're going to hear from in a little bit, the other co-host, and Veronica Sternitsky. Many of you know me from my prior radio show just a few years ago. We were on for several years for Law Review Radio, and at that time, Ronald Zach PLC, our law firm, sponsored that show. Now we're doing a show in conjunction with Quality of Life Medical and Research Clinic. I wanted to talk a little bit about the old radio show that many people remember, some fondly, some not so fondly. That was the show we talked about a lot of legal topics. Also, we did talk about a lot of medical topics on that show as well. Our tagline was anything touched by the law, anything the law touched, and we interpreted that as being anything at all. Our law firm dealt primarily with, and still does, wills, trusts, mm-hmm. powers of attorney, guardianship, conservatorship, and probate. And we do about half litigation and about half estate planning, trying to avoid litigation for other people. But I was always very cognizant about legal issues that were related to health, and particularly aging, and things that we sometimes in healthcare we consider social determinants of health, and those are frequently legal issues that impact people's health, and there are many. My area of law, which includes, among estate planning, probate litigation, and inclusive in that is elder law. And we talk a lot about elderly. My favorite subject, death and dying. In the legal field, I have always said that I help people prepare for disability, dementia, and death. And when they haven't prepared, we get involved and do whatever is necessary at that point, either before or after death. You might remember my segment from the old show, Legal News You Can't Use, where we would present some newsworthy or not topics, things that were going on. We're going to have a similar segment that we'll probably do a little later today, and we call that one near-death news. So kind of mixes in some medical, mixes in some law, and I've got several articles that I'm going to want to talk with you about. We are going to be today, it'll be a little less formal, and you're welcome to call the radio station here, and we're happy to entertain questions about anything. Whether we know the answer or not, we're going to give you an answer. The phone number is 520-790-2040. 520-790-2040. The old show, a couple people that I wanted to mention was our old board operator, Harry Alexander, and the co-producer of that show was Chuck, his dog. And he was there for every show, and we had a really good time. We are going to have on this show, as we go along, we're going to have several guests, and a lot of the guests are probably some of the same kinds of people that we had on Law Review Radio back when we were doing that. And those were a lot of authors, because we do a lot of reading, and I did learn very early that having a radio show is a great way to get free books. and I could promote the authors and interview them and let them sell a few books and I'd get them for free. One of my favorites was Ripley's Believe It or Not. Every year, the curator from Ripley's Believe It or Not would come on the show when they were promoting their Christmas issues of their Ripley's books, and we would always get a few of those, and just a fascinating, interesting show. Another favorite guest was Mark Anthony, the psychic lawyer, and he was a lawyer from Florida who actually, I think he still comes to town sometimes to do shows, but he's able to communicate with dead people, which fit in really well with our show, and we do communicate with dead people. And that's why when we talk about quality of life, we like to say it's not just for the living. We also, one of my favorites was Bob Nelson, who wrote a couple of books. He's actually the person who froze the first man. He's one of the pioneers in the field of cryonics. And I don't know if he's still alive, but he may be frozen by now. But we would like to look for people like that. We had a lot of local celebrities. We had some political guests on the show, and we're going to probably follow suit. We are going to have maybe a little more of interesting medical topics, especially the kinds of things that happen at Quality of Life Research and Medical Center. We'll be talking about many of the research studies and quality of life. You'll learn was the local site for the Moderna vaccine study and some fascinating stories that Dr. McGettigan is going to share with us about that. We also will be talking about wellness and anti-aging, quality of life medical clinic. We have a primary care section. We have a pain management section. We deal with some accidents. We'll get into more of what we deal with, hormone therapy, and that's going to be a frequent topic, talking about hormones and how they can improve your life. I think my last show was late in 2017 from Law Review Radio, and over those past 5 years, my law firm has changed a little bit in form. I had been, when I left the show, I think I was still with the Udall firm. I was a partner at Udall for a while, and then went back to Ronald Zach PLC. I had a partnership for about three and a half years with another attorney, and then went back to practicing on my own, although not really on my own, because I'm still with my paralegal, Bernadette, who's been with me for a dozen years and is the backbone of the firm. She's the office manager and tells me what to do. And we also have a Veronica Sternitsky, who's joined our firm and is doing an outstanding job, particularly with our litigation. She's a litigator. Now she's an estate planner as well, and you'll be hearing from her from time to time. During these last 5 years or so, I also have built up a little bit of we have a nonprofit that we're involved in, the Hospice Education and Legal Partnership, and it's a nonprofit that provides pro bono and reduced fee legal services to people with terminal illness, people who are HIV positive, and have financial need. We are fairly active. It's you know, we're there. It's a great service to provide. Now, a lot of people know that even back when we were doing Law Review Radio, focused pretty much exclusively on law and related topics of elder law, aging. And I'm also a registered nurse. I've been a registered nurse before I was an attorney, actually. I worked my way through law school as a registered nurse. And in the last several years, I have also become a nurse practitioner. I became certified a couple years ago as a family nurse practitioner. And that's what's led me over to working with quality of life and Jack McGettigan. So right now I divide my time between the law firm and the clinic. And you'll find me in the clinic. I end the clinic anywhere from 7 in the morning until noon, usually. Prior to that, believe it or not, I spend about 3 hours at the office. I go in by 4, usually 3:30. I start at the office. I do some of my drafting, go over some cases and things. Then I go over to the clinic, which is close to the office. It's up near TMC. The office is on Broadway and Swan, 4400 East Broadway. And I go to the clinic till noon. Then I go back to the law firm and stay there till it gets dark out. And then sometimes go home. I'm at the law firm usually on the weekends, although I do some other stuff on the weekends too. So I keep pretty busy, but still very, very active in the law firm and very active in the clinic. I love the clinic because it's so much more learning than I'm doing right now and having so much fun. At the law firm, we usually meet with people in increments of 1 to 1.5 hours for an appointment. At the clinic, usually 20 to 30 minutes at the most. And so I get to see a lot more people and a lot more things. And I like that pace, actually. So as I age, I look for new opportunities. We're going to take a break right now, and we're going to come back and talk with Dr. Jack McGettigan from Quality of Life Medical and Research Center.
Wills, trusts, powers of attorney, guardianship, and probate. There's only one attorney you need to help you with these important issues. Ron Zach. Every client is treated with respect, consideration, and compassion. You deserve legal help that is understandable and affordable. Ron Zach listens and explains the issues to you. Call Ron today, 331-3232. All calls are returned within 24 hours. Or visit TucsonEstatePlanning.com. That's TucsonEstatePlanning.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Quality of Life Radio with Ronald Zach and Dr. Jack McGettigan, and Veronica Sternitsky is here. And I talked the first segment a little bit about my background and a little bit about me. There's a lot more dirt we can share, and we will as time goes along. But I wanted to introduce and let you meet our co-host, Dr. Jack McGettigan. Welcome, Dr. McGettigan.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Well, it's great to have you here. And I'm very thankful for everybody listening. I'm even more thankful for being able to be here myself and to be able to work with Dr. McGettigan. So I wanted to let people learn a little more about your background. You're a medical doctor. You were actually trained as a surgeon, weren't you?
Way back when, yes. I came to 1979, came to Tucson to start a surgical residency at the University of Arizona. And I did that for the first 2 years. And then I had a couple little kids, which kind of got me going in a slightly different direction. And then I went into emergency medicine in town when you could still grandfather in to the field.
So what were some of the local emergency rooms that you worked at?
El Dorado was an emergency room back then. It no longer exists. I was at Keno, at the ER there, and did a little bit of time at pretty much St. Joe's. I was recruited by Thomas Davis shortly thereafter and helped them, another doc, set up the urgent care center, which then became my career for probably about 15 years.
Wow, that's a name I haven't heard in a long time, Thomas Davis, but was a huge presence here for many years. Interesting that, so we have, and I didn't know this, we have some common background with El Dorado. When I came to Tucson, I came here, I was working for the Indian Health Service. I came out here to work in cells in the emergency room. But when I wasn't in cells working, I would rent a room here in Tucson and I worked at the emergency room at El Dorado. That was in maybe 93. You were probably...
I was long gone.
Yeah, you were long gone. And soon after that, El Dorado was long gone.
Well, so. El Dorado exists. It's just not what it used to be.
Right, right. El Dorado was also another part of El Dorado I worked at. That was the first gero psych unit in Tucson was there, Generations unit. And I helped open that unit when it started. Of course, I was working part-time because I was working full-time for the Indian Health Service. So El Dorado was pretty cool. So when did you start at Quality of Life?
Quality of Life got started in 2000, and it actually is, that's a little bit of an interesting story, particularly with what you started the show with. It started off as a Viagra clinic.
Ah.
And had a drug rep at the time approach me. She knew I was no longer at Thomas Davis, and she recommended that I start a Viagra clinic, and I kind of looked at her like, why are you looking at me like a Viagra clinic? It made no sense, but turned out to be a very interesting change in my career, and I had to learn a lot about sexual medicine. I knew very little. Brought a physician assistant, actually, from Phoenix area, came down and helped me set that up many years ago, and then it morphed into what's now gradually morphed into Quality of Life Medical Center, and then Quality of Life Medical and Research Center. As one of the first big studies we did was a study in Viagra looking at its effects in women.
What did you find in that study?
Well, the interesting thing about that particular study was the FDA at the time was looking for the effects in women, and they wanted to see if there was a way to increase the, I think this is a word we can use on air, the number of orgasms that a woman could have. And that was the primary goal of that study. It turns out it doesn't do that in men, so it was interesting that the FDA thought it would do it in women. It turned out that Viagra was not approved for that purpose, but some interesting things did come out of that study, things that it did do for women, which would increase arousability and lubrication, but that it was never approved for that. And over the years, I have prescribed it to women, and they've noted a definite benefit, but again, not the one that the FDA wanted them to experience.
How interesting. So we'll take note of that. And just for you, I did, before we started, I wrote down here the 7 words that you cannot say on the radio. Do you want me to read them off? Just kidding.
Maybe we should put them up in some big letters on the studio here. So try to avoid them.
Yeah, some of them are surprising, but... So can you define the term sexual medicine?
That's a question nobody's ever asked me before. Thanks a lot.
Sorry.
Sexual medicine over the years for me has been basically helping people with that area of their life that would certainly encompass all aspects of sex. And initially, it started off with a little blue pill. Then we helped over the years develop some of the other pills that are currently on the market, got involved in hormone replacement therapy. And sex per se for men and women is a personal experience from my working with hundreds, if not thousands, of patients. There was a very interesting, what used to be, it was actually, I think we would see it in various presentations regarding Viagra. And when it came to men, if you looked at the light switch on the wall, that theoretically was how easy it was to arouse a male. You just hit the switch. And then when you look at what it required to get a female aroused, you would look at the inside of a 737 cockpit and all the buttons, the dials, the knobs, etc. That's how difficult things were theoretically for females. Don't know if that helps answer the question you threw at me.
But I think it does. And I think in the clinic, from my experience working there too, it's actually a very, very broad topic, and we'll talk more specifically other times about hormones, and it's much more than sex that we're going to be talking about. Now you have done, you did originally a Viagra study, and that started the research path of the clinic. What other kinds of studies have you done over the years?
Well, we've done over 200 different clinical trials, which have encompassed, probably 30 or 40 different areas, from weight loss, infectious disease, vaccines, including the one you mentioned, the Moderna vaccine. We've done flu vaccines. We've also been involved with hypertension, cholesterol studies, diabetes. We've got a diabetic study that we're actually going to be looking for volunteers for in the coming months. And pain, chronic pain. We've done some opiate studies. We've had a couple opportunities to work with marijuana in looking at treatment for migraine headaches and for chronic pain. But there's a very large variety of research studies that we've done, pretty much touching almost all topics. We've done very little in cancer at our clinic, but there's quite a bit that's going on in that area for sure.
And there was a PSA on opioid use or overuse of opioids. That was kind of interesting. All these things are fitting in. Everything fits in. And at the clinic, what are some of the areas of practice that you're currently involved in and that are happening at the clinic?
One of the big things we do there is primary care, which you know, that's an area that you deal in. And we have another nurse practitioner who has been in that area for quite a while, along with hormone replacement. We have several practitioners who work in chronic pain, which may involve opiates. And then we also have quite a bit of work that we do in individuals that have addiction. And the other big one, I think, would be over the years, we've done quite a bit of work with individuals who've been involved in motor vehicle accidents, typically when they're the victim. And we've helped them kind of work their way through the maze of, first of all, getting better, but also the legal ramifications of what that might look like. We've worked with a number of attorneys in town who tend to specialize in that area.
Well, very good. And I've met some of them. I've gotten involved a little bit. So there's so much more about Dr. McGettigan that we're going to be addressing, but you're going to meet him as co-host. He's going to be doing a big part of the show. I'm kind of going to be doing what I do for a while, quite a bit. And we're going to also, I'll introduce the other attorney from our firm, Veronica Sternitsky, when we come back from the break.
Wills, trusts, powers of attorney, guardianship, and probate. There's only one attorney you need to help you with these important issues. Ron Zach. Every client is treated with respect, consideration, and compassion. You deserve legal help that is understandable and affordable. Ron Zach listens and explains the issues to you. Call Ron today, 331-3232. All calls are returned within 24 hours. Or visit TucsonEstatePlanning.com. That's TucsonEstatePlanning.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Quality of Life Radio with Dr. Jack McGettigan and yours truly, Ronald Zach. And we're on AM 1030, The Voice. You can call if you have a question or want to interrupt us, because it's kind of first show. We're a little informal today anyway, but we're always going to be entertaining your questions. And our phone number here is 520-790-2040. 520-790-2040. And you've heard about me, you've heard about Dr. McGettigan a little bit. And I wanted to introduce an attorney, the attorney from my office who's been doing such a great job managing a lot of the cases. We do everything kind of together, but she's been wonderful. Her name is Veronica Sternitsky. Welcome, Veronica.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So you grew up here, didn't you, in Tucson?
I did. I grew up on the northwest side, went to Catalina Foothills High, went to the U of A.
Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry. I generally avoid hiring people who went there, but you didn't go to law school there.
No, I went to law school out in Kansas at Washburn. It's in Topeka.
Ah, okay. Yeah, Topeka's okay. And then after law school, what did you do?
Well, I moved to Oregon, where I knew a bunch of people, had friends, and I opened my own practice, ran that for 5 years. I focused primarily on plaintiff's employment litigation, so I sued employers who didn't like to follow the rules. And after a while, I decided it was time for a change and time to be near family, so I moved back to Tucson and got in touch with Ron.
Yeah, I'm so glad you came back. And actually, Veronica and I started working together before she moved back. She worked a little bit remotely on some cases and started working her way in. And what's such a nice fit, I thought, was that Veronica represented employees. It's harder to find attorneys to represent employees in employment law than it is employers. Employers have plenty of attorneys, isn't that right?
Absolutely. The hard thing about representing employees is you have to front a lot of costs to be able to do that, because, you know, a person who's been fired from their job, they don't have money to retain you. And so you're placing a lot of faith that that case is going to work out and that person's going to be in a better place.
See, and we were looking for somebody with that kind of a heart, and also being involved in a lot of civil rights.
Yeah, I really loved fighting for people who were put in a position where they were treated unfairly because of their age, race, sex, whatever the category was. And darn it, we knew it was wrong, and we did everything we could to fight against that.
Excellent. And it's a tough uphill battle. And I think that in our current practice, we're in that kind of a position a lot, because we're representing people who may have some minimal impairment, some elderly people who are in another discriminated against class, in my opinion.
Absolutely. 100% agree with you.
And you're also, And there's things I don't know. We obviously, I hope that it just shows very clearly that we didn't prepare. But you're involved in some other activities that I'm very unfamiliar with. You're a little bit younger than I am, and you're in some groups that. Some gamer-type groups.
Yeah, I've got a D&D group that we get together every week, and we play make-believe stories and drink a beer and chat. It's a wonderful way to spend an afternoon. You know, I think it's important to have social outlets and ways to be creative, and that's one that I found that worked for me.
Yeah, it's so totally foreign to me. For one thing, doing almost anything in free time or having any free time is foreign to me, but the whole game thing. So this is a game. D&D stands for
Dungeons and Dragons.
Okay.
Really, if you think about it, it's like telling a story as a group. Really, that's what you're doing. You're each making up a story for your own character, and you're trying to make a big group story together. So.
And just fascinating. And there's people who take that very, very seriously.
That there are. I don't think anyone that I've ever played with takes it quite that seriously. It's always been a bit more fun in games for us. We'll often send memes back and forth during the game, kind of making fun of what's going on. But there are people out there who absolutely take it very seriously.
And Are you interested at all in comic books? You know, Comic-Con is here this weekend in Tucson.
You know, I heard it was here, and on my drive over to the studio, I heard multiple people talking about it on my stops. And, you know, comic books aren't something I've ever spent much time with, but the few that I've read, I've really enjoyed. So.
And I'm not a big comic book fan. I know some, but my daughter, my youngest daughter, had recently given me some issues of a Marvel comic book character known as She-Hulk, who's an attorney when she's not a superhero, but she's green.
I mean, the color of her skin really doesn't matter.
That's true. That's true. We don't see color, but I've really gotten into She-Hulk. I'm fascinated with her. Something else about you is that I notice that you're a collector of fountain pens.
I do. Yeah. I've got this theory that if you have to use something in the day to day, that it should be beautiful. That life is too short to use humdrum, boring things. So I try to collect fountain pens because I do a lot of writing in a day, and I want it to be a pleasurable experience.
Okay. Well, and I also use a fountain pen, but I don't use beautiful ones. I use disposable fountain pens because one thing I've learned about fountain pens is that they take an awful lot of work.
Yeah, that's fair. It really is. It takes a lot of work to keep them clean and get them to do exactly what you want them to do.
Yeah. So what kind of pens do you like?
I've got quite a few Twisbys, which are they're piston-filled pens. You don't need a cartridge. You just put them in the bottle and suck up the ink. I like that I don't have a disposable cartridge at the end, so it's a little more environmentally friendly. And means I get to change colors relatively frequently. So if I've got a big signing coming up, I used to take a fountain pen and fill it with a bright red ink so that the people signing it thought they were signing in blood. you can do a lot of fun little things with what color ink you choose and what pen you're using.
There you go. Very good. Now, one of the things that you have in common to some extent with Dr. McGettigan is you're both pilots.
I heard that. We were chatting about this before the show, and I always love running into another pilot. And the chance to talk to someone who just appreciates that sense of freedom when you get up in the air and can look around and go, oh, where do I want to go today? I think there's a lot of camaraderie there.
And now you've been in Oregon for a while, so now you're just someplace where you actually can fly.
Yeah, it's been a few years since I've really been active, so I'm really looking forward to getting out there and having some fun in the air again.
And I think, and I'll address you, Dr. McGinn, again, you fly pretty frequently, don't you?
I am flying more frequently than I had. And I try to get out there once a week if I can and punch some holes in the sky, as they say.
So sometimes when I'm looking for you at the clinic and you're probably flying.
Exactly.
Lucky you. So that's interesting. So we'll have to all go flying sometime.
Absolutely. And, you know, Dr. McGinn, again, I'd love to hear your thoughts on the FAA's system of, the word just went out of my brain, medical examination and the licensing classes for that sometime. So
future topic.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, that is a good topic. Yeah, I have a very close friend who's a pilot, and before his exam, he stops eating and he doubles his blood pressure medicine for a few days so that he'll be able to pass. I won't mention his name.
Probably a good idea.
No, but he's a great guy. He took me a while back. We went to Winslow and stood on the corner over there. We flew up there for a couple hours, and it was fun. Flew over the meteor crater. Well, Veronica Sternitsky, I'm so happy you're here, and Dr. Jack McGinn, same, and I'm so privileged to be able to work at Quality of Life, and I really appreciate that opportunity. We're going to come back in a minute after this next break, and we're going to talk about near-death news.
Wills, trusts, powers of attorney, guardianship, and probate. There's only one attorney you need to help you with these important issues. Ron Zach. Every client is treated with respect, consideration, and compassion. You deserve legal help that is understandable and affordable. Ron Zach listens and explains the issues to you. Call Ron today, 331-3232. All calls are returned within 24 hours. Or visit TucsonEstatePlanning.com. That's TucsonEstatePlanning.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Quality of Life Radio with Dr. Jack McGinn and Ronald Zach, the co-host, and Veronica Sternitsky, who's likely going to be participating actively with this show as well. You can call us at 520-790-2040 if you have a question about anything at all, medicine, law, romance. We're experts on all of that. This is a time for near-death news, where I'm going to introduce some news of things that are going on in law and medicine. And the first thing that I wanted to talk about, and this was very interesting, you know that last summer, Ivana Trump died. Ivana Trump was Donald's first wife, and she's buried. Guess where she's buried? She's buried near the first hole of the Trump National Golf Club in Bedminster, New Jersey. Now, do you want to be buried in a golf course? Maybe. And why is she buried there? You know, Donald Trump is a very bright guy. So New Jersey, their tax code exempts cemetery land from taxes and all kinds of taxes. It avoids property tax, income tax, sales tax. And his plan is to bury more people at that golf course too, and including himself. He's going to be buried there. He's planning a mausoleum in the center of the golf course that's going to be probably known as Eternal Donald.
and it's a golden mausoleum, and he's got a few wives that he can bury there, and other people. I wouldn't mind being buried there, but it's a great tax advantage for him. So pretty brilliant. Donald Trump. A Texas man died, and this was last month, August. He died while he was spreading his father's ashes at the Arches National Park in, Utah? Yeah, Utah. And it's interesting. People ask me all the time about, you know, can I spread ashes in a national park? And my answer is always, of course you can. Don't get caught. But you can get permission. You're supposed to ask for permission. Very few people ever do. I have never known of anyone to be in trouble for spreading someone's ashes. But this guy from Austin was there spreading his father's ashes. He died of heat, heat stroke, dehydration, and the altitude. So that's a sad story, but an interesting irony. Jimmy Carter. Is Jimmy Carter still alive? He's on hospice, and he's been on hospice for about 6 months, which is good to know that people do go on hospice and stay on hospice for a long time. Jimmy Carter, as you know, up until recently was considered the worst president we've ever had. But I don't think that's the case anymore. But he's also considered to be one of the best, if not the best, ex-presidents. And he's been wonderful, I think, as an ex-president, as former president. He's done some admirable things. I disagree with some comments he's made about Israel and things like that. But he's admirable. He's also one of the poorest former presidents. He's only worth about $10 million. And that's very, very poor for a former president when you compare to Bill Clinton, who's worth $120 million. Barack Obama's worth $70 million. The Bush's W $50 million, HW $25 million. Gerald Ford only $7 million. But you know, he wasn't really elected, was he? I don't know if he counts. I just saw this article and I thought it was pretty interesting that a hospice Brazos Valley, and this is in Texas, in Central Texas, they had a fundraiser. The fundraiser they had was they raise funds annually with a Slavicek sausage hog splash. And this is people playing volleyball in mud. And there's a great picture in this article of them playing volleyball where they turn this dirt volleyball court into mud, and they play volleyball and raise money for hospice. Isn't that sweet? Another fundraiser, there's a radio person in Atlanta named Steve McCoy, who's apparently he's on hospice having end-stage Parkinson's disease. And what they're doing for him is a comedy club hosting an event to raise money, you know, comedy for laughs for hospice or something like that. And it's called Stand Up for Steve McCoy Against Parkinson's, but a lot of different fundraising for hospices. Here's a guy from Canada who's been arrested for selling poison for people to use to kill themselves. This is a 57-year-old. His name is Kenneth Law. He was selling sodium nitrite, and apparently they're saying that 88 people used his poison to kill themselves,
And he's being prosecuted in Canada, in the UK, for having sold that. He sent 1,200 packages to 40 countries of this. This is his kind of company. He says, well, he didn't assist anybody with anything. He sold them a product. Arizona, which is anti-assisted death, is had a situation several years back when some people from an organization called Final Exit had provided the equipment to a young lady to kill herself. And they provided, it's like a hood and helium. They used helium. And they provided to them, set them up in their house, and then they supposedly leave, and the person triggers it themselves and die. They were prosecuted, but they could only be convicted of misdemeanors under Arizona's previous law, which banned assisted suicide. But they changed the law after that. So now if you provide somebody equipment or provide them items that they can use to kill themselves, knowing that they're going to kill themselves, then that's manslaughter. We do have a caller. So we have Doug on the phone. Hello, Doug. Thank you for calling.
Hello, Yvonne. I have a legal question.
Yes.
So my in-laws, who live in another state, and they both have a POA. My father-in-law is currently suffering with dementia, and we need to make some changes on that POA. Is that possible?
Okay, so the question, it sounds like, is if somebody had executed a power of attorney document naming somebody to be their either financial or healthcare power of attorney, and they now have dementia, can they change the document? Is that the question?
That is the question, yeah.
Okay, and in Arizona, because I can only really answer according to Arizona law, which I think it's probably going to be similar. It'll depend how severe their dementia is. If there's a lot of people with dementia who are able to express what they want, and able to change their documents, but if he's unable to understand the what he's doing or who he's choosing or what it's for, the nature and consequences of his act, then he probably cannot.
Okay.
Did that answer the question?
Yeah. Some days he probably can do that.
Well, and there's under the law, there's a concept called lucid intervals. And so just because somebody has dementia or is impaired at certain times, we often have people who are clearer at certain times. So yeah. It's entirely possible if you catch him at the right time, he's able to do it, and it would be very difficult to prove otherwise. So thank you very much for the call.
All right.
And we have a minute left. So I had a interesting medical article here too, where this woman had forgetfulness and depression, just like sometimes I do. And it turned out that she had a parasitic roundworm in her frontal lobe, and it was removed alive. And it stayed alive. It was taken to a lab, and it stayed alive until they cut it up to test it. But they took out this worm, and it was wiggling around as they took it out. Fascinating. We're going to be back next Saturday at 3 o'clock. I'm Dr. Jack McGettigan. I'll be here. Quality of Life Radio. And remember our phone number, 520-790-2040. And you can always
find me or Quality of Life, a medical and research center, or Ronald Zach Law. We're easy to find. We do thank you for listening. If you've been listening, if you haven't, either have I. Thank you very much for being here. See you next week.